We're the bad guys if we don't vote for it.
Yeah,
if we do. We're not. But if we don't allow it, we're the bad guys. Or it's our whatever. Whenever, hey, you have the CUP, not you, but you're who you represent. And that's where it's just, it's like, guys, free country. You chose to build it. You chose to build it how you built it. You chose to do it. Something pops up. I'm assuming unfortunate. I hate to hear that. Do you want us to take a motion out of everybody else's? We need to take a motion out of this, too.
Agree. I'm not even. It's not about a motion here. I'm coming to you and saying that. Hey, listen.
I'm just saying.
And listen. I know this is not an easy job, and I don't think that it's about being a bad guy or a good guy. I think it's about let's figure out. Let's look at all the facts. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not the most intelligent person in the world. This is a residence down a private road. It's already has. Even if you don't zone it NR1, there will still be nightly rentals down this road, because it's got NR3 across the street. There is buffering all around this property. It is not back, it's not on the side, to the front of any other structure. There's cases that I completely understand. I'll sit here and say, guys, absolutely, I'm with you. I know it's a hard decision. This doesn't seem like a very, very difficult, you know, decision for this to be rezoned because of where it sits and the situation. And it's all the way up against the road. It's the closest to the road that it can be. No other structure is going to be built behind it. It's...
Those all on septic.
Nothing right now is going to be built behind it. That's for sure.
So,
any further discussion before we move on with the public hearing?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
All right. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak in favor of the project? Speak in favor of it?
Yeah. No.
You want to speak in opposition of the project?
Yeah.
All right. So I would entertain the first speaker to please step forward. State your name and address when you reach the podium, please.
Coach Coleman, 1131 Hampton Road. And in all the pictures that we've shown here, I noticed my house wasn't shown. That's because I look right into the back deck of that cabin.
Are you here?
That's the cabin there. This is my house right here.
Right here?
Right there.
Okay.
I look right across the pond, I guess it is. So I can't see it in this lot. Hampton Road separates. I own, except this lot, I own 50 acres, except for this house and this house, all the way back to Bristol Road. Been there 33 years before either of this was built. So, and I can give you the history on bed and breakfast. This was a 80 acre plot for sale on both sides of the road. My dad bought this, he didn't buy the 30. Tried to buy 30, but Ron Bell had already offered. Mr. Bell came and built his house. It was built as a residence. They decided to go as a bed and breakfast later on. They ran it for several years as a bed and breakfast. Wasn't paying for itself. It was foreclosed on. And my understanding was foreclosed by the SBA. It sat vacant. And before Mr. Bell passed away, before it foreclosed on, his wife tried to run it a little bit. She couldn't handle it, and they quit even taking reservations. So it was not operated as a bed and breakfast during that time, several months. They lost it to foreclosure. It sat on the market, vacant, nobody in it for over a year. It was not operated as a bed and breakfast at that time. SBA sold it to Mike Dortch. He did his live here. Then he moved out of this house and rented it out. And he moved over here for just a few weeks. And he's now running a resort down on in his neighborhood. All of this land from here, 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 all of this up to that top house across there. That's all owned by the same family, different members of the family. Mr. Bridger is an in-law of the family, but he's still part of the family. It has been, and I'm gonna back up one meeting before you did start the history. They initially came and tried to get that rezoned. All of the properties they own, except for this wooded area, they tried to get rezoned for night rentals. They were gonna build a resort. In the record, the name of it was a Hummingbird Resort. This is the bed and breakfast known as a Hummingbird Inn. This is going to be a Hummingbird. There's going to be 10 cabins and 4 tree houses on the whole property. Since 2020, first meeting on this was in May of 2020. They tried to do the whole thing, except for this that they didn't own yet. It was turned down. It's been turned down 4 times since then, counting the last meeting. Many of the arguments that he's had in Mr. Dorch's letter has been before the Planning Commission and the Taney County Commission. We had to take one of them. I took it all the way to the Taney County Commission, and they overturned it. The last thing we had, they did, we got messed up on the time. That's when y'all were changing. We were doing away with the special use permits. They had already applied for it. They lost in planning and zoning. It had to go to Board of Adjustments, and the meeting was held in between, so they got kind of caught in limbo. And that's how they got to, they gave them their conditional use. And the words that were spoken in here, we can do that because we have control of it. We're not giving away permanent change of usage to the property. And he talks about that this house is separated. Well, this lot goes, these lots are bent here. He's got this lot, he's got this one. And he says these have been sold, and nobody knows anything about it, but if it has, then it has. But so that would be adjacent. These are dog leg shaped lots. That lot would be available to whoever. If we zone this in to R1, that would go with the property. That can be used as a substantiating thing to try to get Mr. Bridger's other lot zoned R1. They can't do that with a conditional use thing. They can't use it as stated in the regulations. That can't be used as a supporting thing. But a straight night rental in R1 can be used. So that's going to give at least one more lot that he has direct control of. And he says he's not building. He can build that house on Hampton Road just as easy. This lot comes out on Hampton Road, so it is adjacent to my property, separated only by a road. So it's not isolated. All these lots behind it, I'm up there, they are all adjacent to it. May not be able to see the houses completely in the summertime, but this winter you're looking straight into them, and they have those lots, and it would open those up to the night rental thing. But doesn't make sense why they would want to do the NR, do away with the conditional use when Mr. Bridger has that use of it for his lifetime or until he sells it. And, you know, so I can't see where it being Mr. Bridger's thing unless he's planning on selling. Now, we're talking about selling. Mr. Battaglia made a statement. He's family friend, all this. But he's actually the owner and president of Battaglia Group, a real estate agency. He is the listing agent for that, with a pending contract. He has a financial interest in this property. The other, and And then in the listing, it said one of the key points is the income factor. That's high sales tax. Go out on monthly listing, Charlie Gerken on his site, he's got it. Nightly rentals, yes. Not for whoever buys it right now, but if you rezone it, then they can get the price they're asking for. But first thing that would happen if you go there, at lot 10 would be same request. The others over here, it will be too. So, yeah, you can say it's isolated now, but it won't be. We'll be here every month for the next year doing this all over. He's talking about buffering. Well, buffering applies to a lot, not a house. Applies to the property. Am I right on that?
Sure.
What about? We'd have to fight that out with the lawyers. Yeah. So, but there is no buffering there across the backyard. I can look straight at it. And my neighbor up here, this was my property too. That was my mother's house. She passed away during all this transaction. And they looking straight into that also. So they're far from being buffered. 100 yards distance is not considered a buffering zone. And the main thing we look at, we talk about the neighborhood, the bed and breakfast. When they bought it, they grandfathered it in as a bed and breakfast, although it hadn't been operated as such for over a year, except vacant, nobody in it. So I would assume that any grandfathering clause goes away after a certain amount of time. It should be a contiguous use.
That's right. 1 year.
But any other questions y'all got for me?
No, sir.
No, sir.
I just want to cover the history a little bit on.
Yep. Thank you.
We like I said, all the arguments that he made have been made. There have been complaints on it. We didn't know that we'd have to go to the sheriff, but we know now. And they were, I know two times in the last few months that the sheriff's office has been over there on that property for different things. There's stuff going on at the bed and breakfast that the administrator and I will talk about later. As far as what they're doing, not up the kosher over there.
All right. That's thank you, sir. Thing. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on this?
Yes, my name is Barbara Coleman. I live at 1131 Hampton Road. We owned a motel, our family did, in Branson. Our whole reason for moving out to Hampton Road was for the quiet country living. It's a little narrow country road off of 248, about 10 miles from the strip. Mostly residential area with some agriculture, and that's why most of us moved out there, to get away from the tourists. Several of you probably live in Forsyth, Taneyville, Kirbyville for the same reason, the traffic and the tourists. It's a quiet neighborhood that doesn't want nightly rentals. The people that live on Live Oak are backed up to that cabin and the bed and breakfast, and there has been complaints about noise and fireworks going off at odd times of the night and the mornings. There's no major attractions out that way that someone would even want to stay out there, to me, at their cabin. And I think that's one reason they're having trouble renting it. And our major fear when all of this started was that it would go under, it would go bankrupt, and we would be left with empty cabins over there, things that aren't compatible to our neighborhood. We have had some incidences out there that, you know, that we don't want to ever happen again. So you just have to